Good morning, church. Man, didn't you guys enjoy worship? That was fun. Just refreshing. Yeah, let's go ahead and give those guys a hand. They did a great job. There's just something nice about kind of being able to forget everything else and just worship and spend some time with Daddy and then do it in a community setting and do it with family. But, you know, there's a lot going on around here. May's really busy. I think Melanie gave you a long rundown, but I just want to throw my 2 cents in for the growth track and for Church 101. If you've been checking us out for a while, this is a great time for you just to come hang out, see what we're all about, meet leadership, meet who people are, learn how we operate. And I just tell people, you know, it's a whole lot easier to operate or to play a game, say like football, if you know who's on your team. If you take two teams and everybody's wearing the same exact jersey, you have no idea who's on your team, who you can count on, who to go to, who to trust, or what the play is, or how it works. And that's kind of what Church 101 does. It just gets everybody playing by the same playbook, on the same team, all going the same direction. Because that's really what my job is as a pastor, is to get us all going the same direction and help lead you and lead us there as we go. So let me throw that in for 101 right after service. We got plenty of food, so if you haven't been through it, it's a great time for you to stick around and do it. It's 1 hour. I promise I'll have you in and out. You'll get lunch in an hour. You can't beat that, and I promise we won't charge you a dime, and I don't ask for tips. So it'll be a good time right after church over next door. You know, last week we closed out It Is Written, and we talked a little bit about what our lives are built on. We talked about our lives being built on the Word of God. And that leads us to make decisions. The Word of God should be the thing that leads us to follow His wisdom and make decisions. And as I was studying this week, I'm going to start off with a little humor today. I hope you find this funny. I did. Don't put it up yet. I was studying this week, and somebody sent me an email. Hey, I thought this was funny. I know you're talking and teaching on Sunday about being wise and making good decisions. And look what I found. It says, never take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. Don't you think that's good wisdom? I never thought about that before. That could be a bad combo about 3 a.m. You see, we decide things to do every day. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us don't realize that we make those decisions based on wisdom that's not God's. Wisdom that maybe we just thought it was right. Maybe we had external evidence to show us it's right. But it's not really God's word. That we build our lives even on pride, and we build them on reason, making my own decisions, making decisions based off what I think or feel or what I think is best, instead of God's word. You know, but there's things, decisions that we make sometimes that aren't just simple yes or no questions. They don't fit into what we would say is a normal moral box. For instance, should I feed and take care of my children? While I've thought about selling them off a couple times, it's not something we really struggle with. Why? Because it's an easy check. Should I lie at work to get ahead, to get the job? We say no, and most of you instantly respond no, yet are we always successful in following that easy question? No. Should I cheat on my taxes? No. Yet, a lot of us do. A lot of us slide that, oh yeah, I spent all this money on my business and personal stuff. You know, I went to Dairy Queen for ice cream, and we count that as a business expense. You know, maybe a gray area, but they're usually pretty yes or no questions. You know, should I cheat on my spouse? No, oh no, 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 no. Anybody heard what the divorce rate is lately? So, I mean, even those, we don't get the easy ones, what I would say are easy ones, right? Because we all mess up. What happens when they come into a gray area? What happens as a child when you're an adult or a kid and your parents are asking you, maybe trying to lead you in a way that's not godly, to get you to do something? And you know your decision is going to cause strife in your family. Or maybe somebody in your family is marrying somebody that everybody disagrees with. Shouldn't be marrying. In today's world, that could even be in a same-sex or setup. What do you do? We know, we all kind of go, really? But yeah, it happens. Do you not go? Do you sow strife? Or is there a way that we can operate in love? Is there a way that we can stand by our convictions, stand by what the Bible says? We don't waver from that, but yet we can do it in love. I'm telling you, that takes wisdom. Trying to negotiate these things through today's society and culture, you better have the words of God. Because you open your mouth and say the wrong thing, they will tear you apart. And then label you as that bigot, that Christian. What do you think? You think you're better than everybody else. No, we just believe that God is right and he's always right and we're going to live by his standards. But how do you do that in love? See, decisions like jobs, houses, things that themselves are not good or bad. You have two people maybe facing the same decision. Should we take a job, uproot our family, and move? For one, they make the decision and go and it works out great. The other, they make the decision and work and it just tears their family apart. It's wisdom, it's God's wisdom that helps us get to that point and do it so that it works. You see, the truth is you can have morals. There are people who have morals, but they're bad at life. I know some really religious people, and they are high, high morals, but their life is in shambles. They're morally perfect, but everything, they're just bad at life. You can be smart. It's amazing. Smart people can do really stupid things. You can have an IQ that's through the roof and be bad at life. It amazes me the decisions that we see of people we know in public who are smart and they do stupid things. You can even be successful and wealthy and be bad at life. Just because you have more money than you know what to do with, or your job has promoted you, or you're the head of, you know, president of a country or whatever government official, it doesn't make you good at life. You can be bad at life. See, being good at life requires wisdom. Being good at life requires wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable." Why? Because life requires wisdom. Being good at life requires wisdom. It goes on to say that I, wisdom, live together with good judgment, and I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. You can even have knowledge. Again, smart, and be bad at life. Have trouble in your life constantly. I wanted to give you two definitions, and then I'm going to kind of break down wisdom. The first definition is of wisdom itself. Wisdom is knowing, you might want to jot this one down. I didn't have room on your notes, so if you want to squeeze it in there somewhere. If you're not taking notes, write it down anyway. Wisdom is knowing the truth and how to apply it to any given situation. You can know what to do and know what the truth is and have knowledge, but if you can't apply it to your situation, somewhat like having your house on fire and having a fire truck in front of your house. But if you don't know how to operate that fire truck, guess what's going to happen? Your house is going to burn down. You got to know you got to know what to do with it and how to apply it. Then I came across this definition of understanding. I love this. Understanding, and the Bible uses these all through it, is a knowledge seasoned and modified by wisdom and discernment. Discernment is that simply of reading the situation. You ever meet somebody and just have this itch, like, something ain't right? Or go to buy a car from somebody, or go to make a purchase, and you get there, and it's just like, I really want this, but something's not right. A lot of times, that's God giving us discernment, and we blow right by him. So if the question is, and the series is about, what do I do when I don't know what to do? Then today we're going to be preemptive. Today I'm going to tell you what you should already be doing. And if you're facing a situation, then it's a good time to start doing what we'll talk about today. What you should be doing so that when you get to a place where I don't know what to do, where the question is, should I marry this person? That person may be the most godly Christian in the world, but it doesn't mean that God necessarily has that person for you. How do you make these decisions? Anybody ever had those? Am I the only one? Anybody facing one now, trying to figure out? It's not a black or white issue, and you're trying to figure things out. I know for the seniors graduating this year, they're trying to figure out in school, and it's not always that one school's better than the other, but what is it that God wants you to do? What's wisdom on it? What wisdom should you follow? But first, you need to understand that the Bible clearly talks about two kinds of wisdom. And the first one is earthly wisdom. The second one is God's wisdom. And you think, oh, that'd be an easy answer. We'll always follow God. Well, I don't think it's always that easy. Because if it was, we'd need a bigger building. Y'all catch that? If it was, always God's wisdom. We'll always follow God's wisdom. It's what the people of Israel told God. Listen, we'll do anything you say. You be our God. We're on. March on. The next day, we ain't going over there. And it changes. We say it's an easy answer, but I don't think it is. Look what James says in James chapter 3, verse 13. He begins to talk about wisdom. It said, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life." You know, wisdom can be judged. In other words, I can tell by your actions whether you are using God's wisdom or not. Got quiet in here all of a sudden. "Let them know by their good life, by deeds done in humility, that comes from wisdom." In other words, what you're doing is a result of wisdom. In verse 14, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition," remember that, it's a key word there, "in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth." In verse 15, "Such wisdom does not come down from heaven," but remember these words, "but is earthly, unspiritual," and what? "And demonic." Verse 16, "For where you have every evil, selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Let me stop right there before we go to 17. Back up 1 second. This is a great test for your life. I like to give you practical things we can do as we walk through life together, and this is a very good one. Don't raise your hands. Don't look at your wife or your spouse next to you. But is there things in your life that is just chaos, disorder? You just can't figure it out. It never seems to work. Are your finances upside down? Is your marriage or your relationships crazy and you're always fighting? Are you struggling in school? Is there disorder in your life? Well, here's a good indication of what wisdom you're following. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? This is a very good pointer of what wisdom you are following. And listen, before you shut down and quit listening, understand this. We're all in the same hospital. We're all trying to get to the same place and do the same thing and serve God. So the fact that you have something out of whack in your life and you can say, "Yep, I got disorder. Matter of fact, I got a whole list of disorders," then you're not alone. We're all in the same boat together, going the same place. But look what he says in verse 17. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit." Now you can judge that fruit. "Impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." That's my job, to help get us all in a place, taking one step from where we are to where God wants us to be, so that we can harvest a life of righteousness. Because that's what changes lives. People see that in us. People respond to us and the righteousness that God raises us up in. You see, James here talks about two lists, earthly wisdom and God's wisdom. So just for a second, let's talk about what we're not supposed to be following. Because Christians today, and I mean Christians, it's not even the world, we're buying into the world's wisdom. And it's very dangerous. The world boasts about its wisdom. The world makes a big deal. You know, this is the way we think. This is the way it should be. And the Christians, we follow right in line with it. And we see in the world today, I don't know if you've flipped on the TV lately or looked even on social media, but the world is nuts. You got whole people groups going nuts because they're following this wisdom that they think is right because it's earthly wisdom and it maybe feels good, it may look good, but the result is not good. So look what the Bible says here. Well, I mean, here's a good example. We are legalizing things based on what we say, so that makes it okay. Based on what we think. Well, it's not. In love, we as the church should be able to stand up and say, we're not going to follow the world's way. We're going to follow God's way. But see, the problem is we have Christians that fall on one side or the other of this, and they're evil. I'm going to speak truth, but they do it with hate and malice, and you're worthless and go after people. Or I believe that we can do it in love. I have some friends that have, some very close friends that have family members that live some alternative lifestyles. And their family are some great friends of mine. And I've wondered why they don't have any other Christian friends. And I've asked them, why don't you have any other Christian friends outside of your family? And their answer was, because you're mean. It's not rocket science. It's like I tell Mabel, if you want friends, be nice to people. If you don't want friends, then be mean to people and you won't have any friends. You won't have to worry about it. So we're legalizing things, and we Christians either back completely away or we just can't do it in love. It all takes wisdom to act and to speak this way. Takes wisdom. If you remember last week, we had this verse. It's not in your notes, but in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, there's a path for each person that what? Seems right. But it what? It ends in death. What is that? That's using reason. We talked last week, and it is written about trying to interpret the Bible just using reason. It doesn't work that way. You can't just reason it out. See, because earth's wisdom, and this is going to shock you, is worldly. Well, how worldly is it for us today? Well, let me tell you. We buy into it because we're so overwhelmingly influenced by it. Most of us in the room, if we're honest, could raise our hands and lay out three or four areas of our lives that we probably need to draw a line in the sand and then stay away from it. Because that area is influencing us too much. It's either social media, Twitter, it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's Snapchat and Zip Zap and pictures here and pictures there. And we're inundated with it. And we wonder why when we make a decision where it comes from, it's because we're being influenced by earthly wisdom. So what, I know there's somewhere in the room there's somebody thinking, so what are you saying, Clint? What's going on in my life is demonic? Yes. Why? Because I have to judge my own life too. So you're saying what's in my life, there's my life is demonic? No, I didn't say your life was demonic, but I said what's going on in your life is very much demonic. Why? Because there's no middle area. You can't have it both ways. You see, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:20. It says, where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish to the world? The wisdom of God foolish to the world? I don't know. For us to be able to understand and ask God for wisdom, we have to be able to put aside these influences of the world. I was in a store the other day, and I was in line, and there was a gentleman in front of me, and I was not in the mood to talk. Like, I wanted to get my stuff, and let's get out of here, and the guy turns around. And you always have that feeling when somebody turns around in line. Like, so, hi, how are you? And I put on the Christian, okay, I'm good. Hi, how are you? And how are you doing? And he's like, well, not good. Why? I watch the news all day long, and the world is just going crazy, and he starts bad-mouthing. If there was a group to offend, he nailed all of them. Every race, every color, everybody he could offend. And I'm just in line like, I don't really know this guy. And I just began to see the influence, and he began to tell me why he felt this way, and who was going to do this, and this race, and that race, and this religion, and that religion. And I mean, he, from big people to little people to, I mean, he covered the gamut. And it was obvious that his news that he watched all day just had totally destroyed him. His wisdom was coming from there. So to tell him, well, what the Bible says is just going to be foolish. He says that's foolish. And well, my Bible says that God made the foolish the wisdom of the world. That your wisdom is actually wrong. We just don't get it. The next thing is that earth's wisdom is sensual. And I don't mean sensual as in a sexual way. I mean sensual as in touch and experience. Remember last week we talked about earthly wisdom is based on the idea that if it feels good, it must be right. If I'm doing something and it feels good, it must be right. It must be wisdom. It must be okay. Well, let me let you in on this. And if you're in the room and under the age of 20, this is for you. Your feelings will lie to you. I'm not saying that the person you're dating or you're with is or isn't the one that God has for you, but your feelings will lie to you. If ever you need it in time in your life, you need God's wisdom before you give anybody a ring or before you take a ring from anybody, you better have some wisdom. I'm convinced that a lot of the divorce rate today is just because we don't even bother asking. We just go. And we lack wisdom. Why? Because it's sensual. If it's right, if it feels good, even if it's not even sexual, if I just have fun with you, you must be the one. That's not really always the greatest mark. Look what Titus says in Titus 3. It says, at one time we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. In other words, those are the things that directed us. That's what made me go and stop and come and spend my money was things that I enjoyed. We lived in malice and in envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he did what? He saved us. See there, you need saving. When you're doing this previous stuff, obviously Paul's writing to Titus and said, hey, guess what? He saved you out of all that stuff. He brought you out of it. The last one in James, you might say, Clint, that's a little harsh. Well, don't look at me. God said it. I didn't write this. God did. And this is an area that Christians and churches have let the world either scare them off or convince them to change the Bible. But the last one, earthly wisdom, is demonic. It's the last one that James lists. And he gets really blunt. And again, are you saying that my life is demonic? Are you saying that I'm demonic? No, I'm not saying that you're demonic, but I'm telling you, we have a real enemy. And if he can get into our thinking and get us to buy into that wisdom, he's going to be successful because he's going to map you away from God. The map that he's going to lay out from you is not going to point to God. Let me give you this to chew on. It's demonic because the same spirit, the prideful, remember pride and selfish what? See, y'all weren't taking notes and paying attention. I told you, the selfish ambition, that's the exact same spirit that the Bible says came over Lucifer and got him kicked out of heaven. Now you tell me, is it demonic? I would say yeah. But God says, listen, I've saved you out of this. I've given you a way to get out of it. So what then does the Bible come along and say? What is it telling us to do? In a nutshell, it says, be wise and don't look like everybody else. Be wise and let your life be different and let people be able to see a difference. Don't just say you're a Christian, follow the way of the world and try to blend in. It says you need to show people you're different. Now, you can do that the wrong way and the right way. But you can judge the fruit of wisdom. Whose lifestyle looks nothing like yours? And then here's the cool thing. Don't run from them. When you find them, when you're sitting and what I should have done in the store with this guy and his life is chaos and he was the epitome of hated and being hated. He told me everybody who hated him and everybody he hated. I should have stepped in and said, well, listen, I know how we can fix this. I know somebody who can help. And begin to introduce him to God who has all the wisdom in the world. But yet we run from those people. That's our job, is to take it to those people. You know, there's a guy in the Bible named Solomon, and we're going to talk about him next week, but the Bible says that he was the smartest man who ever lived. And Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4 says that the beginning of wisdom is to, Get wisdom. If you want to start, you got to get. I mean, it's, again, not rocket science. The beginning of wisdom is to get wisdom. But then he adds in, he goes, hey, no matter what it costs you, give it all you've got and get some understanding. Now James begins, if we go back to the scripture we started with, begins to talk about heaven's wisdom, which James first says is pure. Let me give you three things that it says about God's wisdom. And again, here's another shocking statement. This is deep revelation, so hang on. Are you ready? Number one is godly wisdom comes from godly principles. You cannot make worldly principles godly. Anything that is right that the world tells you, don't steal, they got it from God. God made wisdom. God made truth. The world is very good at taking God's truth, fitting it to their mold that they want it to make, and then calling it truth, even though they've changed it. Well, God doesn't mind me living this way. He loves me. I'm not going to argue with you. God loves you, but he very much minds the way you're living. I had a friend one time in an airplane. He was flying home, and he walked in and sat down, and he had used his points and gotten upgraded to first class, and you know, you get on the plane early, and he sat down, and this young woman, this business professional, came in, and she already had a drink in her hand, and she was already three sheets to the wind, and just, she was the happy drunk, like just talking to everybody, and sat down next to him, and the first thing she asked, she goes, so what do you do? And he lied to her and told her he was a motivational speaker when he was really a pastor. And he backed up and said, no, I pastor a church. And he went on, and she said, well, what do you think God thinks of this? And he had a great line, and I remember it today. He said, I don't think God cares about that, because he cares about your heart, and once he has your heart, we'll talk about the drinking. So drink up. And it shocked her. Why? Because the world's wisdom says, well, God loves me anyway, no matter what I do. Well, we as Christians want to jump on them and go, no, they don't. God doesn't love that. And he doesn't. And no, Jesus died for them just like he did for you. And if you want to start putting everybody's sins on the wall back there, look out. I don't know anybody in the room is going to want to raise their hands to do that. But you see, these decisions aren't always that easy. Godly principles. I want to do something real quick. I don't want to show you something. Where's my assistant? Come here, Mason. Mason, I asked him to bring me one of his toys from home. So he's brought me his little red box. Actually, it's not. We stole it from the nursery. I want to show you something, because it's always easy to say, I'm going to do godly principles. We have in this box lots of shapes. How'd you do in geometry? You're about to graduate, so you better do good. So we'll say this is Mason's life, and the shapes on top represent the decisions he's going to have to make. So here's your life. Okay, Mason, here's a decision. This is whether or not you should cheat on a test. The answer in the box is yes. Keep it in your hand for no. See, easy. He's not putting it in. Now we say, okay, Mason, let's make it easy. Mason, should you rob a bank? Put it in the box for no, but keep it for yes. You're not robbing the bank. See how easy that was? And see, we can come up with all other really easy ones. This is all for yes. Should you obey your mother? Should you obey your father? Yes, he's very big. Should you do well in school? See how easy these are? We just drop them right in there. What happens when Mason, and I picked on him because I know we've talked about this. Where should you go to school, Mason? What's wrong? See, now he's got a decision that doesn't fit. That one fits in there nicely. We can get in there nicely. Now he's faced with something that doesn't fit. And no matter how he tries to figure it out, it just doesn't fit in this easy box. What does he need now? Wisdom. Ask me, pretend I'm God, ask me for wisdom. Yeah, I'd be glad to help you out. Watch this. See? You give him a hand. Thank you. Take your shapes with you. What do? You just ask for wisdom. I know he's standing there thinking, I can't get this in there. See, I had the answer. He didn't know. I was just going to open up, put it right inside. Godly principles create godly wisdom. And here in Mason, and we do this, and it's not just him. We all do this. We pop those answers. Oh, this is easy. And then we get the one we don't know what to do. And we avoid it, or we make a rash decision, and we find ourselves getting in trouble. Look what Job, if Job ever wanted, somebody ever needed wisdom, it was Job. He went through a lot of stuff. He said, but wisdom and power are found where? In God. Counsel, in other words, help, give me some wisdom and judgment and understanding are his. That's the only place you're going to find wisdom. I believe, and we believe here at Believers, that whatever you need is in the Bible. You just got to find it. And you got to let God take you to it. Look what Job said, and go on to chapter 28, verse 23. It said, God alone understands the way to wisdom. He knows where it can be found. God can point you there. God can take you to, oh, just open the lid, put it in the box. It works. And it's often not complicated. It's often as simple as taking the lid off the box and doing what God's told you to do, and it's a simple thing. The next one is God's wisdom acts with godly motives. One of my favorite scriptures in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, Paul's writing the church of Philippi, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And here's that word again. Do nothing out of what? Let's try that again. Do nothing out of what? Selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, do it in humility. Value yourself, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one to another, have the same mindset as Christ. You see, value others. This flies in the face of anything the world's wisdom are going to tell you. Because they'll tell you, if there's one parachute and you're in the plane and there's three people, what does it tell you to do? What does worldly wisdom tell you to do? Worldly wisdom, you do anything you got to do to get that parachute, right? If it comes down to coming, and some of you have done this. I've watched you. You're in Walmart. 142 checkout aisles. Five are open. And two people. You want to see a fight? Two people coming from opposite ends with carts. See an open aisle. It's all out war. Who's going to get there first? I watched two ladies come from either end one time, and they just whammed into each other. And then backed up and said, oh, excuse me, I didn't see you coming. You're looking right at each other. You were just trying to beat her there. Because the world's wisdom says, just do what you got to do, and then maybe just say you're sorry. Value others. Paul says, listen, you want wisdom? You want to make a decision? In this decision, are you valuing others? Is it selfish? Is it vain? Is it your own? Is this to your own gain? Remember what James said. God's wisdom is considerate, full of mercy, fruit, the fruit of God. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this. I was laughing with somebody yesterday. I got to go do a wedding, and I was talking with somebody at the wedding. We were talking about people, and he said, yeah, just people just bother me. And he was shocked, and I said, you know what? Me too. And I was joking. I said, you know what? Church would be great if we could just not have people. I said, you know why? Because people have problems. And when you get a lot of people, guess what you get? A whole lot of problems. And when you get a whole lot of problems together and you shake them all together, guess what you got? A whole lot more problems. So sometimes it's just, I have to remind myself that we're in this together. We're all in the same hospital. We're all going, trying to find and find our place in God's kingdom. And you just got to love people. And I was reminded this week, and I'm going to read you. I didn't have room to put it in your notes, but I want to read you this. And you may have heard this, but I was reminded of it this week. It's called A Different Kind of Prayer. Have anybody ever heard this? Just listen to this. Heavenly Father, help us remember that the jerk who cut us off last night in traffic is a single mother who worked 9 hours that day and was rushing home to cook dinner, help with homework, do the laundry, and spend a few precious moments with her children. God, help us to remember that the pierced, tattooed, disinterested young man who can't seem to make change correctly is a worried 19-year-old college student, balancing his apprehension over final exams with his fear of not getting his student loans for next year. God, remind us that the scary bum begging for money is in the same spot every day, who really should get a job, is a slave to addictions that we can only imagine in our worst nightmares. Help us to remember that the odd couple walking annoyingly slow in Walmart through the aisles, blocking my progress as I shop, savoring their moment together, knowing that based on the biopsy report, she got back last week, this very well could be the last time they shop together. Heavenly Father, remind us each day of all the gifts you give us. The greatest gift is love. It is not only to share that love with others that we hold dear, but open our hearts not just to those who are close to us, but to all humanity. Let us be slow to judgment, quick to forgiveness, and patience, and empathy, and love. See, sometimes you got to remember, what's the purpose? Number three is godly wisdom as always serves godly purpose. This is our ultimate job. That God gave, or Jesus gave us the great commission to go out to the world. We go to places where people's lives are in disorder, based off crazy worldly wisdom. And we help them and bring God's wisdom into this. Remember, Jesus himself said in John 10:10, said that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, that my purpose is to give them a what? A rich and satisfying life. Don't just assume that rich means money. Remember, you can be successful and be bad at life. That's our purpose. That's our ultimate job. Godly wisdom is always going to serve and lean to that purpose. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your good deeds do what? Shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See what happens when you use wisdom and people can see and judge those deeds? What does it say in the second half of this verse? Then what happens? Then they are going to now praise your heavenly Father. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody that can turn and praise, honestly, sincerely thank God, talk about God, come in contact with him, and him not have an effect on their lives. They may not get saved, but they're taking that one step closer. And they're one step closer because your wisdom, the wisdom of your life, the fruit of your life, shows them that, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I know the one who does. And there's something different about me. One way you can do this, one way you can think about this, you know, Melanie mentioned a couple weeks, we got water baptism coming up. I encourage you, if you've not been water baptized, get water baptized. It always follows salvation in the Bible. But beyond that, you want to see friends come to Jesus? People will, it's funny how it works. They would never come on their own, or they would never get baptized themselves. But when you choose to get baptized, and I mean, normally when we do it, the place is full. We set up the big tank over there, and it's a big deal. We have dinner that day. We eat afterwards. But I'm amazed how people watching it are then affected by it. The wisdom of God that says you need to be baptized. You need to be an example and demonstrate to people the death, burial, resurrection, that you're on my team. And we think of it as personal, but I'm telling you, people are watching. People are watching, and your friends are watching, and it makes a difference. That I am saying I'm going to live according to God's wisdom and not the world. So May 22nd, we'll be doing that actually during service here. People standing up saying who they are aligning their lives with. You know, it's not always easy, but it shows something different from their normal disorder. And then they see what happens. And Matthew's very clear that they turn to God. But look what James chapter 1 says as we head toward the close here. By the way, in a couple weeks, we're actually going to do, I think, 5 weeks. 5 or 6 week series on the book of James. I'm excited because it's one of my favorite books. But look what James says in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if you need wisdom, let's try this again. Y'all can read it with me. If you need wisdom, ask. And he will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for asking. You get wisdom by asking. We tell our kids all the time, listen, if you want something, ask. I might say no, but it's always better to ask. Our girls are funny. Especially Emma used to. We caught her one time here. We were selling donuts for something here years and years ago. And Emma was less than a year old, maybe. Maybe two. And we found Emma, and I've got a picture of it somewhere, in our office, and we had about 18 or 20 dozen donuts. And we walked in, and Emma's sitting in the floor, and around her is all these boxes spread out. And as I opened each one, there was one donut with a bite out of each one, all 18 boxes. And when you begin to ask, she said, can I have one? Well, I think you had 18 by the time you count all the... So we laugh about that, but we do that to God. We don't get what we want, but we've never really asked him for it. Some of you are facing situations I've never been in. And you need wisdom. And God says, I'm not going to rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom, ask him for it. The one version says he gives it liberally without withholding anything back. He's going to give it to you. David, writing in the book of Psalms, says in 111 verse 10, says the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. One version says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who obey his commands will do what? Will grow in wisdom. I said this last week, and it shows true again. You guys, come on up. A lot of times, and to have revelation of the word, to have revelation of your Bible is true here in wisdom. A lot of times to grow in it, you got to obey. You've got to be obedient to God. And when you do, you grow in wisdom. You learn from it. So it's his principles, motive, and purpose. Now, just for a second, if you would, just kind of be still. If you've got stuff, don't put it up yet. I did this last week, and it was just amazing, your response. I want to pray over you again. And I'm going to pray over you as your pastor. If you're visiting, we're adopting you today. I'm going to pray over you anyway. But I want to pray in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10. And I want to pray this over you, and then when we're done, we'll do our normal altar call in the end like normal, but I want to pray this over you. Look at number 8, or verse 8. It says, he guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find the right way to go. Verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. That's my prayer for you today. That when you obey God and we begin to trust him and say, God, I need wisdom, you'll understand what is right, just, and fair, and you will find his way to go. Not the world's way, not the way that maybe your Twitter account, your Facebook account, your friends are telling you to go, but the right way. And God, my prayer over my friends and family in this room today is that you would give them supernatural wisdom. God, it may not make sense to us on earth, but we know where wisdom is, and it lies in you. It lies with you. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Fill us full of wisdom. You know, there's some of you, go ahead, just keep your eyes closed. And this is just you and God for a minute. Kind of forget who's next to you. Some of you that need to follow wisdom, and that wisdom is today. You need to quit trying to live by your own wisdom and receive Jesus and let him give you wisdom. I know there's some of you in the room that say, listen, I knew God. I went to church a couple times, and I need to come home. I don't mean home as here in Believer's Church. I just mean come home to Daddy. I need to get my life right. And maybe some of you have never done that. But if that's you today, just real quick, I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. We do this every week. And if that's you today, just slip your hand up and wave at me. It's just me and you, nobody else. The hands are going up. That's right. Today, I'm getting right. I'm receiving wisdom and I'm acting on it. I've got knowledge and now I'm going to act on it because I have a Father who loves me and a Savior who died for me. Amen. Let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive grace. I receive your wisdom. And I receive your love. Today, I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. That I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth that you are Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. See, the Bible says in heaven, they're throwing a party. They're excited. Today, I'm truly believing that when we leave here today, decisions you're facing, and some of you got to make decisions quick. And let me just say this, if that's you and you need somebody to pray with you, don't run out of here. I know Wesley says it every week. There's always somebody out to my right that can pray with you. Find somebody, grab somebody, and just let them agree with you that God's going to move on your behalf and he's going to give you wisdom.